This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, what's up? My name is Bentley Modisele, and you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show every Thursday from 12 to 1 p.m. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. It's yet again another one of those absolutely fantastic shows. Man, it's another Thursday. Can you believe it? You know, when it's Thursday, it already means that we're that much closer to Friday. So, which is a really great thing, right? Always is. Always is. Certainly a great time to be alive. Man, it's the shortest hour of the week. Every single time, it's Unplugged and In Charge on CliffCentral.com. You're listening to the one and only Where's Our That Guy? Ha! I haven't said that in a long time. Whoo! I'm feeling good. Feeling good, man. What's going on in your week? Man, let me think, what's my week looking like? It's been busy. It's been hustling. It's been a lot of things, eh? It's been a lot of positive things as well. It's still good news season, people. In fact, it's a good news lifetime. And that's what you need to believe about yourself as well. You know, I told you a while ago that I went back to listening to more of those motivational tapes and those type of things early in the morning. Open up that YouTube and, you know, go back to the things that get you going. Because I once said that all the big shots are actually little shots that never stopped shooting. And that's actually what you should do. Just keep on shooting. And do you know what? It's okay to sometimes run out of bullets. Even the big shots run out of bullets. But you know what you do then? In the battle of you versus the world and you trying to be successful and you trying to win, you got to reload really quickly, because that's what happens on the battlefield. The quicker you reload, the better your chances of actually winning the war that you want to win as well. So reload whatever it is that fuels you, whatever it is that reloads you. Do that thing and do it more often so that you can actually be your best self more often as well. Now, on the show, we always have really amazing people. People who constructively give us, you know, great tips about their own lives that we can apply in ours so that we can be where we want to be as well. I've got Ofense here, and he's a gentleman exactly like that. I'm going to introduce him in a short little while, but I also have the main man. He's on my left-hand side, and he goes by the name of Simpiwe. Oh, my gosh. I almost said Simpiwe. Man, shucks.
No, it's okay. It's okay, bro.
It's okay. It's like when you accidentally mention someone. Let's say, for instance, my mom did this by accident once. So we are in hospital. It's my mom's friend's. My mom's friend is in hospital, and her husband is there. And but it's, you know, she has an ex-husband as well. But this is her, you know, her current husband, and so on. And as she's talking and he's trying to refer to the gentleman, she accidentally mentions the ex-husband. And then she's like, yo. It felt like that moment. But of course, this one is not as bad because we're all friends.
Of course.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. And you?
Yeah, no, all's awesome this side. Tell me about your week. What has it been up to? I mean, the last 7 days since we last saw you right here on the show, what have you been up to and how things been going?
Look, man, it's trying to maintain that focus. To be consistent, it's been a great 7 days.
Tell me, Small, are you always like positive and high and always up and you know, up in life, or how do you bounce if you do ever get to touch the ground?
Look, I'd like to think that I'm always positive.
Yeah.
The reason why I say that is because I don't allow any setbacks to actually get to me.
Mm.
I don't dwell on it a lot.
Yeah.
So when you hear me all the time speaking in a positive way, it's because that's the kind of state that I always try to keep myself in.
Mm.
I do not neglect the reality of setbacks, but I think I just conquer them by making sure that I'm in a right state of mind, and I just make sure that every time my thinking is positive, everything that I do is positive.
Yeah. You know what? It makes me think of another life lesson I learned this week. I was, so because I'm the brand ambassador for Dial Direct, I sometimes have to pitch up at the head office and do some stuff, right? So what was happening in this case is there's a new boss that's coming in. It was his first day on Monday, and we decided to go and surprise him, you know, create a whole vibe for him. Shucks, the ambassador's here. We create a VIP section for his car. He gets up and there's posters of him everywhere, and people are holding up banners saying welcome, you know, on his first day and stuff like that, just to overwhelm him and really to make him feel like he's welcome. Hello, Candice. Hashtag sips tea. Candice is out there. She of course is part of the Urban Culture Drive. She's sipping tea, listening to Unplugged and In Charge. So as I'm saying, so you know, we are standing right there at the gate where all the cars are busy driving in, and we see all the employees as they arrive at the head office. So it's people from all over, all the different brand. It's not just one insurance company. It's a bunch of insurance companies all under one umbrella. So all of them are arriving there. And as the guys drive in one by one, you can see the attitudes that the people come to work with. You know, some come to work on a Monday really happy and excited, and some come, you know, with that whole, Monday again, you know what I mean? They're just dragging their feet, getting here again. And you know what was interesting? The security lady, her name is Josephine, if I'm not mistaken. Now she knows every single one of them by name. I mean, this is a head office, guys, with about maybe 250 people in it. And she's greeting everyone by name. Hey, how are you doing, Jack? Hey, how are you doing, Tippy? So, hey, you were on leave. How's the pregnancy? Man, she even knows what's going on in your life. She's the security guard. She doesn't need to do all of this. She's got the biggest smile, bigger than everybody's smile. She's greeting everybody by name with a smile. She doesn't get paid extra for this type of stuff. She's doing it, you know, from a different place. And on top of that, I asked her, what time do you have to wake up to be here? She says, well, because of where she lives, she wakes up at 3 a.m. in the morning to try and make sure that at 5:30, she's already here to start at being paid at 6 o'clock. So she works actually from 6 to about, let's say from 6 to 5 or something like that. And, you know, so that means all that other time she doesn't really get paid for. She could have been the grumpiest person coming here because she woke up the earliest. She could have felt like, I don't even get paid half what you guys get paid. I'm just a security guard and all this other stuff. But guess what? She comes to work with this amazing attitude and with this amazing energy. That for me was actually something pretty profound. And I thought, wow, imagine someone like that greets you with a smile and then you don't even smile back. You don't even know how much her smile costs. Man, that smile costs a lot, man. It costs a lot. And she, amidst all those challenges, she's probably also raising some kids. Who knows what she's going through, you know? But she still comes to work with an amazing attitude, with gratitude as well.
Yeah, it's really powerful. I mean, we never know what people go through in life in order to make sure that they make their ends meet. And some people go through the most. And when you think, it's such stories that when you're actually going through a bad situation, when you look at yourself, there's someone that is actually going through the worst and they are still smiling. So yeah, it's really a powerful analogy.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about her is that she decided what her emotions are going to be today. She decided what the vibe's going to be. She decided what the day is going to look like. She didn't let someone else decide. You know what? It's like, let's say a piece of metal, right, has no lading in Afrikaans. It's not polarized in English. So that means it's not negative or positive, meaning that two pieces of metal won't exactly attract each other or repel each other, but magnets would, right? But if you put a magnet next to a piece of metal for a very long time, I don't know if you've ever tried that as a kid and just rub a piece of metal against that thing, eventually that piece of metal will become magnetic, either polarized to the positive side or to the negative side, and it can either now start to attract other metals or in fact push them back. And I think you can take that and say that applies to us as well as humans, because we can either be influenced by people that we hang around with in a positive way or in a negative way, and the people we choose to associate ourselves with can actually affect us. Now, thinking back into this context, the first thing that's important is that you have attitude when you wake up in the morning. You decide already how the day is going to be. Because when you don't decide, guess what? The first person that might come chill next to you might be a negative person. And then you will, in fact, get that type of energy around you. And in fact, you know, when you get to work and the first person just starts to complain, ah, ish. and we still haven't been paid. And now you also start saying, yeah, man, it's this payment. All of a sudden, that's who you decided to become for the month or for the day or for the week. And that is where the toxic nature could come in. But of course, the inverse is also true. You know, obviously you could see yourself hang out with someone positive and they could, you know, make you positive. But don't take the risk. Don't be influenced by others. Decide yourself first and say, I'm going to be positive. And guess what? Positive magnets attract other things that are attracted to it. And you will also attract the things that are in line with what you're doing. If it's negative things that you're out here, you know, brewing inside of you, well, maybe the negative things will also come a little closer. And if it's positive, and, you know, that is also then true as well. Smo, I see you checking out the phone. Anything interesting you want to tell us?
Yeah, man. It's actually something that I posted about yesterday. Mm. It kind of sentiments with what you're talking about today. And I posted something and I said, don't weigh your achievements according to people's judgments. You need to give absolutely zero F's about what someone else thinks of you, of your achievements. Only you know what you went through to attain those achievements.
Mm. It's easier said than done. I don't know if this has ever happened to you where you achieved something that you thought, you know, this is big, man. This took me a lot of time. It was really hard to get this. And you get that thing and then you get home. And you find it, you're waiting for that good time to announce it. You know, you want it to be quiet. You want everyone to be settled down. You don't want anything to distract you because you're about to announce the big bomb. And then you finally get to say it. And guess what? They're like, wow, that's nice. And maybe two people didn't even hear it. And you're thinking, guys, nothing. I mean, then they're like, no, mfana umyazini usebenzile, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well done, eh? Well done. And then they're like, hong yong, landele amanzi lapho. You're thinking, is that it? Like, after all my hard work, this is all that's going to happen? You guys are just going to give me a pat on the back? No party, no nothing? You know, the thing is, people won't actually throw us the biggest party for our achievements. Only we can actually throw the biggest party for ourselves.
Yeah.
Normally, if you're still waiting for validation to come from someone else, you know, if, let's say, for instance, I got Ofense here and he really works so hard to impress his mom or his girlfriend, and that's where most of his joy comes from. When that person does not react in the way that he imagined that they will react, and it feels like it's underwhelming, and it feels like, shucks, how could, in fact, it's true, how could you ever think that something that took you 5 years to achieve should have a 30-minute celebration, or even an hour celebration, or even a day? In fact, the really good ratio would probably be 5 years of celebration for 5 years of hard work. But no one's willing to be in your party that long. Only you can be in your own party that long. So that's why it's so important for you to start seeing joy come from inside of you, not from other people, so that you can start giving yourself the pat on the back. In fact, your pat on the back must be bigger than what anyone else can give you. And that's actually something that is, in, you know, intertwined into people who are doing very, very well. I see Ofense nodding a couple of times. These are probably things that, you know, he's also gone through, experienced, and learned, and told himself, yeah, that this is my life now. This is what I'm going to do. But let me give him a word, a chance to actually also shed some of his words as well. Ofense, you've been listening to this conversation. Let me hear your thoughts, brother.
Listen, man. People's perspectives and opinions and their celebrations about your successes don't matter. You know? People don't matter. The most important, I don't even pat myself on the back if I feel like I've attained a certain level of success or something that I need to, you know, acknowledge. Because when you have a vision of where you're going, the journey towards where you're going, the most important thing about that is who is with you. And those people shouldn't actually pat you when, as you're climbing up these ladders, they shouldn't be patting your back, you know what I mean? Nobody should be massaging your ego by, even when you switch off the lights and you come back home and you're trying to surprise people, hey, I got a brand new car, you know? Don't be that person, man. Don't be out there looking for validation or be that person who's trying to I hate that. I won't lie, man. I hate that. I'm not that person. My friends know. I mean, I've been with my friend here, Lection. He's also here for so many years, and it's always been about the hustle. You know, he's attained a lot of successes in terms of the music industry, and I've always been the guy behind, you know, in terms of marketing and trying to find structures on how we can actually get to where we're going.
Yeah.
You know, and throughout the journey, we tried, we have achieved things, you know. I mean, there were people at that point in time that were bigger than us. I mean, in the music industry, I mean, we were nobodies, and you know, for guys like back then who were big names in the industry to acknowledge him, we never cared about that. We're like, okay, this person is with us now. What do we need to do? How can we utilize this relationship to get to the next level? And then as you move on in life, you meet the guy, next guy, the next bigger guy, and the next bigger guy. We're not looking for validation here, man. We want a quest to conquer, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, you'll never see Tarzan looking for validation from baboons and gorillas, because that's all everybody is in out here, you know? It's like Shaka Zulu looking for validation from his people. You're a king. You're a god, you know? If you're a god, why you gotta look for validation every time God says, let there be light? You know, when something big happens, you're looking for a pat on the back for that. I mean, there's a whole universe that you still gotta create yet, you know?
Mm.
And yeah, that's my point.
Sharks.
That's the vortex point. Yeah.
Yeah, the Tarzan thing. Yo,
hey, man.
Tarzan. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Tarzan ain't looking for validation from the baboons. Okay. Interesting. So, I've heard this quote that says, you know, success or happiness is, especially when it comes to your career, comes from the gradual realization of a worthy
ideal.
Yeah. So that's actually the main thing. That's, I guess, that's the most important, for you to have a worthy ideal and say, this is ideally what I want to see in my life. This is where I want to see myself. This is where I want to see the people around me be. This is what I want to see for the career and everything that I'm doing, or even the family life. In fact, in any sphere. And it's never really something that you arrive at. You know, when people say, you've made it in life, yeah, you have arrived. Arrived where? You know what I mean? But instead of that, it is, it's gradual, and you see it happen. Just even if you just see 1%, you know, it's like when you're watching FIFA getting downloaded on your Xbox, and it just says 1%, and you're like, yes! We are moving, Jim. You know, yeah. That worthy ideal, and it's a slow progress, but yeah, as long as you are moving slowly in the direction that you want. You know, there's so many directions. If you look at a campus, there's so many directions you could go. Sure. But you know that only one direction is north. Mm-hmm. And maybe north is where your dream is, like your ultimate dream. And then there's all these other directions. So sometimes life pushes you a little bit left, a little bit right. And sometimes enabling factors allow you to go forward. And sometimes things make you slip and you go backwards. But you know that the most worthy direction, let's say the bigger prize is is far north. And to get there, you're going to have to take a lot of steps going that way. But all these other things happen, but you celebrate internally feel the joy of every time you take that next step in the right direction.
True.
Yeah, I think that's maybe a better way to put it, right? So you saying that you don't celebrate, you hate celebrating, not necessarily celebrating, but getting pats on the back.
Yeah.
Explain that. So you also don't congratulate people?
Because people, I know some friends who like being pat on the back. I'm not going to take that away from them, you know.
So you give it to them.
I'll give it to them, yeah.
But you don't want people to say congratulations.
Don't congratulate me. You're going to make me comfortable to feel like, oh, this is an achievement. It's not. It's part of the journey.
Rather, they should say, push, Antoine. Siakbon.
Yeah, it's fine to just say, okay, so what's happening with this deal, actually? Let's get into it. Let's not celebrate. Ah, nice one, Antoine. I see, yeah, man. Okay, guys, here's a project. Gareth Cliff has given me a franchise to open Cliff Central in Kenya, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do it because nobody believed that I could do it. And then I do it. You know, now my vision for that would be Cliff Central International, you know?
Yeah.
So now the first thing that I would expect from a guy like Gareth is, okay, so now what are the principles now that we're going to instill in one of this radio station in Kenya? You know, the launching can be the pat on the back for him, but for me, it'll be the international vision that, okay, fine, I'm done with that part. You guys can deal with the launching and all that stuff. You know, I'm going to focus on now Ghana now, you know?
Yeah. Sharp. But surely sometimes, you know, hey, man, you're doing the right thing can help you feel like, all right, cool, yeah, this is what we're supposed to be doing, and it encourages you to work with even more vigor, knowing that yes, some they acknowledge the people that are important to you acknowledge that you are in the right direction.
I'll tell you something about the power of self introspection. Right, it's very important that you do that for yourself. Like I said, I'm not looking for validation from anybody, otherwise I'll be putting it out there. You know what I mean? Unless if I need to, if it's part of some marketing program that needs to be put out there, you know? But for me to accept it on my own that, yo, Duana, I've done well, that's more important than yours, your opinion of what I've done. Because, you know, even your opinion, you know, opinions have levels of how they affect a person. Just like you were talking about magnets, it takes a certain friction of that magnet from that metal for it to eventually get attracted to it, you know? So even opinions have certain levels to people. They could either make you feel conformed, comfortable, or they could build you, or, you know, for as long as it's going to do something to you, that's when I'll have a problem with it. Now, my power comes from self-introspection, and that's it. So I'm not looking for congratulations, man. Yeah, I'm looking for how we work in this.
Yeah. So how did you build that robust self-concept?
Look, I heard you making a quote, right? I forgot who mentioned that quote. There's another one by Colin Powell called The Power of Association. It goes with reading. It goes with the people you hang around with. It goes with, you know, in business as well, you know? People, the environment that you are in have an influence on who you are. So I've chosen to be in environments where people are not necessarily bigger than me, but have attained certain level of success in terms of personal success as a human being and within the industry that I'm currently in, you know, and that has helped me to listen more and to learn more, learn through the mistakes, the experiences, and that's how, you know, I've taken that person, that portion of people, and yeah, I'm comfortable with being that person. Yeah,
this is really great. Does it have anything to do with your background growing up and you know, there are people who would work hard to get the certificate so that their mother could scream, yeah, that's my child. And then you know, where they get the good feeling from. They need the parents next to the field saying, come boy, kiss, come. And then they're like, yes, my dad is here. Yeah. And they need, you know, that they always need that validation. And sometimes if you never had that growing up, it forms a whole new person that does not need it from outside, but, you know, gets it from inside.
Yeah.
Share a bit about your upbringing.
Okay, for me, I've been in hostel life since I was a kid, like since grade one. So wow. I've had to
7 years old hostel.
Eight, yeah. So from I had to be independent at a very early stage. There was no pat on the back or, you know, komboiki. When it was time to wake up, or I was isolated from
no tinky,
family in terms
no
of
mommy packing tinkies. And
no, baloney
got cheese.
I was a bully actually in grade one.
Here's the real deal.
I was that nigga taking the tinkies from
the kids who had the moms
from what's border. Smoke comes caftini da tinkies. Now wake up. No, today boiled egg there, you know.
Yeah.
I'm finna have a boiled egg and tinkies, you know. Egg, you know. Boys get cheese boy, you know. Yeah. The cheese. So, and I still gotta go to hostel, you know. So, funny enough, I used to have this independent thing for a long time in my life. Even when I became like a day scholar, throughout, you know, after high school, I've been expelled in like 7 different schools in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, because of that independence, you know, it could break you, it could make you.
Yeah.
It's all about how you intake it. Yeah.
Sharks. So that was your childhood, and being away from parents. How do you think that shaped you?
Yeah. You might think I'm lying, but the truth is, with me, the parents thing has never affected me whatsoever. Because even when my mom wants me to do something, for example, to achieve a degree or something, I never listened to her. It's bad, but I can now enforced by my own vision. Or nah, mom doesn't get it, man. I was telling from grade one. So Nondeo was in my mentality, it's in my blood already. So even when it gets to the level, no, Papa, you know you must, well, why not? You can't manage things like this, man. You must do this. Okay, you listen, but then you also, now you're going to go to a financial management guy who's going to advise you on how to do things properly. And still come back and say, Mama, you see, Mo, you are right here, ne? But Lena, I've got this idea. I got this respect as well that you need to put in. Yeah, but the parents thing never really... respectfully, yes, but we're in a different industry when it comes to what I've always wanted as a kid. And growing up, me wanting to play basketball, for example, and then time I wanted to play soccer, and like, no, man, let me show him why basketball, you know. And he gets to the field and he sees why, you know. And your mom saying get a degree and you don't get a degree, and then eventually she sees why. You know. Yeah. Respect your parents, by the way. I'm not saying
so.
Yeah.
Do you think you became a bully because of not having your parents around? I'm going to use some words that you might not necessarily gel with easily in the beginning,
yeah.
But compensatory behavior means, yeah, that there was something, and then this is like the cause of, like, the, you know, the reaction after the cause. Mm. You know, the cause is, you know, that motherly touch and that fatherly touch not being there quite as in the same manner it would have been there. And then the reaction sometimes is the child becomes a little more overbearing over the other kids in a certain way. Do you, and being expelled from school and that type of stuff, do you think it had anything to do with parents, or was it just another thing altogether?
Look, character is genetic, man. I always say this to my friends, that, for example, when they say to you that maybe your younger brother with aggression or whatever, you know, it's up to the child, his upbringing, you know, the people around him. If his parents, it can be raised by your aunt sometimes, or, you know, be adopted, you know. It's how they mold your character. So yeah, my parents, it's not my parents' fault that I became the way I was as a kid, you know. I'm their blood. It's genetic there. I've got a strong character because my father's a strong character. Now, it was not molded because I was in hostel. Or no, let's use this strong character how here, not to take tinkies from Sbo. Let's put it in this position where you can maybe become your hostel monitor. Mm-hmm. You know, there was nobody to mold. It's difficult to mold a person with a strong character into the right direction. Yeah, and that's it.
Mm. But I think somehow it all counted in your favor eventually,
yeah,
because
yeah,
you became this person that is more convicted in your own mindset, because you were not blown by the force, the winds of parenting, you know. Let me say, some of us got swayed left and right by the opinions of our uncles, our aunts, our mothers, because they played such big roles in our lives, and we felt so indebted to them, because that's what parents do sometimes. They make you feel guilty for raising you, you know. And then you feel like you want to do things to make them happy and all that type of stuff, which is different from respect. Respect is just me not disrespecting you, but now There's respect and obedience, and then there's that blindly following someone else's vision for you instead of your vision for your own self. And somehow when that crossroad came, you had your internal voice was stronger than most people's internal voice, because you could do the things that you wanted to do every time that happened, whereas most of us would, you know, gladly conform to what the parents say, because otherwise we're scared that the love will be deprived. But you say, hey man, I never had that love anyway, you can keep it. I'm gonna push this thing and it's gonna work. Yeah. And then you guys will you'll thank me later.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that's, look, there's people who are very successful in life, man, and who had no parents, or there's a parent from home who was not there.
Yeah.
Or they come from abusive backgrounds, or we all have different backgrounds, you know. And that shouldn't define, I'll get back to, you know, the reason why we got to this question, right? That shouldn't, background shouldn't define where you're going if you are aware of it. You understand? When you're driving your car, the most important thing is where you're looking. You look, you spend most of your time looking forward, and you spend less time looking on your rearview mirror, right? You looking on your rearview mirror to be cautious of what could, you know, possibly happen in case an accident, if you need to indicate, you know. But the most important thing is your background shouldn't define where you're going if you're aware of it, you know.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. 90% of the, I mean, 90% of your attention should be in the front, because that's where everything is, you know. That's where your goal is. That's where also most of the challenges are going to come from, and the changes are going to come from as well. And behind you, your history and so on, that doesn't really define much. And if you've spent too much time looking there, you can make mistakes in where you're going, because, you know, you're always blaming the past, always having to bring up the past and things like that, rather than focusing on the future and so on.
True.
But I have a feeling that bully character was like a Donald Trump-like character, and that shaped you into becoming this no-nonsense, I'ma do what I have to, I'm gonna hustle type of person. And like, just tell me what a day in your life looks like. When you wake up in the morning, and you're like, rah, I'm up. Tarzan's up.
Yeah.
Tell me what happens when Tarzan wakes up.
I mean, the first important thing, I run two businesses of mine.
Yeah.
So the first things I do is to check my emails, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I gym.
Yeah.
I try to jog. I attempt to. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah. I attempt to jog, and then either hit the office or I go to sites, because I do have contracts that, you know, require a lot of my attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm on the hustle every day.
On the hustle, 364.
I'm on the hustle.
365. Yeah, that's a real one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now that's really cool. And let's actually get into that more, because you say that there came a point in time where your mom was like, "Do this degree, Mtanam." What did your mom want you to do?
My mom wanted she wanted me to study anything, but I must get a qualification for it.
Okay.
So if I wanted to do media studies, I must finish 4 years in media studies and get that degree.
Mm.
So my mom is from a very academic background. Mm. So it's very important for me. She's got so many honors of this, masters of this. So she tried to, you know, give that to me as well. Or no, go study this. Okay, you want to do sound engineering? Go. Like, remember the time when I was doing sound engineering at MND? The time we did sound engineering, because Lection was producing, and sometimes would piss me off because I want him to make beats for me, and he's in the kitchen cooking and he doesn't care. So I ended up going to sound engineering so I can try and make my own beats. And my mom's like, no, do it and then get a qualification for it. So by the time I remember, I quit sound engineering after I learned how to make my first beat. I remember.
And I
came back to studio and I gave Lection the beat. I was like, nigga, listen to this.
Yeah.
And he was like, a lot of tribal things going on. What's going on? It's fine. I made a beat. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I can do this now. And she was disappointed. All right. So going to sound engineering now. I paid for your school fees. Now, where's the degree, the qualification? You can't keep dropping out, the fence, you know?
Mm.
And yeah, and then eventually she's like, okay, I see you good at Hokopan Saidi. Go study management then.
Mm.
You know? And I was like, aye, mama, no, experience is more important to me. Yeah, and now she's good now. She can see where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing sometimes with parents, you know, as soon as you can start showing the results, they start to calm down. But because before that time, when you still just have experiments going and you're saying, Mama, I have a feeling if I mix all these things together, I'm going to make gold and I'm going to sell it for a lot of money.
Yeah.
Until you have that gold, they're not really going to care about your experiments, and sometimes they're gonna criticize them and say, why don't you just go and you know,
I'll tell you what, I want to go back to school now, right? And that's only because I'm running a business in which there's a lot of fundamentals I still need to understand, and you can't go keep on hiring externally.
Yeah.
So only now do I see the importance of going back to school?
Excellent.
You see, so I had to jump into this industry. I'm doing good at it, but now I want to expand this industry. So how do I expand this industry? Experience is not going to teach you accounting.
True.
You understand? So I need to go back into school, learn accounting. I was very bad at maths, you know, but it doesn't affect, you know, what I'm, the projects that I'm dealing with now. You understand? So only now do I see the need to go back to school to study. You know, because I found myself, and it's at my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, that's actually very important, because I'm actually on the same journey myself, actually.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, initially I went off and did chemical engineering, and that was mainly because of that, you know, the winds of family and peer pressure and all these things. And that's where you want to go now, because it looks like it's the safe and stable and sane thing to do. And eventually I also had this feeling that, no man, look, I get to associate with certain companies. When I contribute to their marketing team, things work. I speak the language that they understand. They're even willing to help me to, you know, let me run certain projects for them and things like that. And I realized that I'm actually naturally gifted in this thing.
Yeah.
So I started my own company within that, you know, that media space. And we did many projects, and money was coming in from all these things. And eventually the parents, you know, calm down when they see the money.
Yeah.
And then I realized that, hey, you know what? Now I would rather complement what I know naturally with some more studies within this thing, because it is, you know, I can only expand it from there on. Other than going to study something, not knowing how it actually is afterwards, then getting into it and finding out it's not for you, but now you're stuck in it because you got some debt, you wanted to drive the Scirocco so that friends can see, and now you have to pay that off for 5 years, and then you get a partner, you get a place to stay, it's another 20 years, and then you say, whoa, now I've got the kids, I can't get out. And, you know, you have to wait until 45, until everything's paid off, to finally step out. And that's why that midlife crisis happens, because it's those people who had to pay everything off 20 years and 5 years and have kids go through school, and that's a 20-year project just for one kid. And then they say, now let me do what I always wanted to do, because it's not this. Shucks, you lived as a well-paid slave, you know, for the last 20 years, and that's a sad thing. So as much as what you were doing seemed rash or unstable or anything like that, you scored yourself 20 years. You're living like 40 and 50 year olds. They get to do what you do, wake up and do what they want to do. If you want to sleep a little longer today, you can sleep a little longer. You know, there's no knife to your neck. That you own your life, you're free. In a way, you know, there's that freedom to say, I'm going to go to school, not because I want a job after this. No, I'm employing people. That's the beauty of it all. Like when I decided, hey, I'm going to go and go back to varsity for extra, you know, extra knowledge. I asked myself, what do you want to do after this? Do you want a job? It's like, no, I don't want a job. I just want to know some stuff. It's a different way to study. You get more because... Every time I study, and then I encounter this at work all the time. Oh, this is, you know, I learn about Monday I was writing customer services. Guess what? I study this stuff. I'm like, whoa. So in customer services, they want physical evidence. Your customers want physical evidence like trophies and things. Okay. So then I would put up certificates at my place now, at my place of work, certificates or a trophy, so that when customers arrive in my place of business, they can see, this company is reputable. Check out the achievements. And then guess what? When you're writing the exam, it feels so natural, man. Like you do the stuff at work. It's like someone's asking you, hey, so what do you do at your job? And that's the exam. It feels so easy.
True.
And everything just flows.
True.
Really cool, man.
True. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah. Wow. You see, here's a man that's on my level of life at the moment. Absolutely amazing. It's great to see that, you know, as much as... And it always feels like an individual journey. You know, it feels like you don't know if anyone else is out here, but this is what you're doing. And it's so cool to get to meet people afterwards, and you know, you it turns out.
If you're doing chemical engineering, let's go make bombs and sell them to you, right?
I bought a distillation column, so we're actually distilling vodka and
look,
spirits.
Man, we'll get into that. I don't know when. Bo, when are we getting into that?
Don't worry, very soon.
All right. We'll get back to that one. Yeah.
But it's just amazing because life is versatile. Life is awesome. It's open.
Yeah.
But it's only open to people who are free. You know, men who are free. Yeah. And if you're living,
it's a choice, man. It's a choice. It's a
Kanye said, "You have the power to let power go."
Yeah.
But so much of us don't want to believe that. You know, we'd rather. It's so much more comfortable to believe that. No, the choice has been made for you. You are where you are because you're supposed to be here, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you're stuck, and just might go with it.
Yeah.
People would rather believe that, because if you tell them that it's their fault that they are where they are, and they could make a decision any time to change where they are, to be wherever they want to be, then they start to, you know, sometimes feel like, oh, shucks, you mean it's been my fault all along? And it, you know, that guilt is too much for them. So they'd rather have the external locus of control where they believe that they are where they are because of circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the internal locus of control, which is something entrepreneurs have. Why do I know this knowledge? Because I'm studying entrepreneurship. Why am I studying entrepreneurship? Because I am an entrepreneur. Isn't this a great life, guys?
I can literally see the excitement in your eyes. Like, you know, this glow.
Guys, right. If you listen to my shows, if you go back into time and you listen to all the other podcasts, you'll hear that in the last, you know, in this year, especially now that I'm a student of the trait and the craft that I'm into, I speak with so much more textbook like knowledge, because that's what you trying to do as well, Offensa.
I don't care about textbook knowledge. I just want practical. I just wanna, you know, even if my English is not good enough.
I'm not saying why ho English.
Yeah. I mean the most, you know, the problem with book knowledge is this, man. You end up talking in other terms that the simple guy that you're trying to get a job with, to work with, doesn't understand, you know?
Simplify, I get it.
Let's simplify things. I mean, you had the knowledge, the book knowledge of how the system operates, so now we get to a guy that who's in the industry but on a higher level, to make your business successful, you can't go there with that, you know, terminology, because number one, I said simple guy. You see, so because you have that knowledge, you can just simplify it for him, and life success is about making life simpler.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I hate textbook knowledge. People, man.
But what's important though is that you are able to because look, why you are already doing what you're doing and you're successful in it comes from the hustle knowledge. It's the street knowledge.
Street knowledge.
Yeah.
Experience.
Yes, that's experience. That's street knowledge.
Yes.
The challenge, though, is that sometimes with just street knowledge alone, you encounter the accountant. And he's trying to tell you about certain laws and things. And you're thinking, wait, what?
Yeah.
Simplify it for me, please. And he says, yo, bro. Like, this is as simple as it gets. I thought you were gonna, and that's what I meant by complimenting that street knowledge with something, so that when you're talking to the other hustler, simplify. Don't try to shine in front of a hustler.
Yeah.
What I mean is, when you get to now to encounter an accountant, you can speak a language that they too can understand.
Here's where we differ, my brother. Now when you street smart against being book smart, right? And just to utilize your example. And you encounter an accountant to make sense of whatever you're doing, right? When you're street smart, I'll go get a book smart guy like you, and then put you, the two of you, in the room, and you will come back to me and make sense for it for me.
You see, what I'm doing is, because I'm already street smart.
Yeah.
So I just went and got book smart too, so that I can have both of these things.
Exactly.
So that I could be whoever I need to be to that person.
Yeah.
You know, it's like what Paul said when he was preaching. He said, to the Romans, I was a Roman, and to the Greek, I was a Greek, you know. Yeah. So when you meet hustlers, you can hustle with them, speak the hustle language.
True.
But when Smoo has to meet, you know, the people from Forbes or whatever, he can speak a language that they too understand. And they say, okay, cool. He makes sense to us, because we want to hear these things, and then we realize you make sense.
Yeah.
So that complementing those two things, just to make make sure that you, you know, you got it all covered in both avenues. I guess there
Look,
we
Bruce
agree.
Lee has a nice, beautiful quote that I like, where he says,
be
like
water, my friend.
Yeah. Be water. You know, water has no form or shape. If you pour water in a glass, it takes the form and the shape of a glass.
Yeah.
If you pour water, you know, among stones, it creates a river, you know? Mm. And then I once said this quote to my brother, and he's like, yeah, but if you're going to be like water, it means you're formless. So, well, now, who are you? Are you a river? Are you a glass?
Yeah.
You know, you get people who, like, there's always different angles to go at
true.
This.
Yeah.
True.
Interesting. So, Offensive, tell us about some of the hustles that you're currently involved in. I know you mentioned that you're on site every now and then, and you know, there's a couple of things that you've been doing even back in the days with Lection as well.
Yeah.
Just tell me about, where's your hustle going right now? What is it that you're doing, and you know, what do you see it, you know, looking like at the end of this year?
Okay, I've got two companies. One company is a construction supply and maintenance company. We deal with power stations. Of another company called Vortex. Now, Vortex is my passion. You see, I had to get into this construction company in order. I'm not passionate about construction, but I'm good at putting things together. So I opened this company, I put my contacts together, I got the contracts, and they worked out for me. And I'm taking that money, putting it into my passion, which is the Vortex. Now, Vortex is, it's power circles, man, because I've got Vortex Group. Vortex Group is a tender financing company where I finance purchase order for supply and deliveries currently at this stage, and for building RDPs. And I also have another arm within Vortex, which is called Vortex Lifestyle. That's where I wanted us to talk about, you know, the distillery, and you know, we'll get into that later.
Get my money, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that on air so I can put pressure on you. yeah. So yeah, with my construction company, look, I wanna go international with this one, because, I mean, with this one, I was able to expand into the mining industry as well. Through mining, you meet contacts, buyers and sellers, you know, mineral trading from Turkey, from, you know, you end up creating this huge network where I can build Vortex Group through this construction company, you know? So my vision with that one is, there's a big contract that I'm waiting for right now that I can't wait to start, because my vision with that one is to, you know, open channels for Vortex Group. Yeah.
Absolutely amazing, man. Yeah. Wow. Obviously this didn't just start big. It started small. It started with you having to hustle, making beats at some point. Tell us about that making beats life back in those days.
Okay, I only made one beat, by the way. I only made one beat, by the way. That part of the my life was, I used to be a rapper, man. Mm-hmm. I still am. I still got bars, you know.
Still got bars. Okay, can we turn up the music?
And no. Let's not go there. I'll end up saying verses election that you haven't heard yet.
Oh,
yeah. Look how much you're grinding on me. So that portion of my life, no lie, it was pushed by my passion for music, and it grew a lot through my friendship with Lection, and our friendship has actually gotten to this point where I'm in a different entirely business right now. And yeah, I worked for a record label, Electromode. I used to do PR and management, digital management for TKS, Coolie Chana, JR. No, Coolie was part of Dream Team. Sorry, Coolie is part of Dream Team. That was my brother's record label. Quite a few urban artists, because my passion was urban music at that point. Yeah, that was my PR side.
Yeah,
so I basically went from behind the camera, you know, running around, you know, putting things together, to ended up doing bookings for the guys in the label, and I wasn't supposed to do that. I earned commission from that, you know, and then eventually I thought, like, let me just do the music now. I can do PR. I've got the context now, you know?
Yeah.
And then I did music, and I had a group called Too Fresh by then with a Sam Award winning artist now, Afro Traction.
Okay.
We did like soul and hip hop. And then it died out after a while. And then from that, I was like, no, man, it has to be. Then I went back behind the scenes and into the office. Yeah.
Mm. Shucks. Yeah. It's been quite a metamorphosis.
But there's one thing in common about my journey, you know. Lection always tells me, you need to find yourself.
Mm.
You know, I remember when we used to rap back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to jump on any beat. And he's like, no, you have to find yourself on, like, which beat do you know? This one is not suited for your voice. You know, let's mix it in this way. You never understand that. But only now, as a grown up young entrepreneur, I start realizing the importance of finding yourself. So now, what I found myself is I'm actually good as being my own agent. Mm. And that's how I got to this point where I'm now the middleman for my own business.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I mean, the cool thing about this entire journey, I mean, because first of all, it just sounds like lifetimes that you've lived already, you know, having to be this and then you were that and then
yeah.
this and then that is the first lesson is that it's never clear cut from the onset. You know, it's not like yeah. the first day you already know exactly how you the rest of your life is going to be. Yeah. It's not like being free means that you're going to pick the right thing the first time round, you yeah. know. And I think if your parents were there the whole way through, they would have said, "I offense, I."
My mom was supportive, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, she always believed I got a beautiful voice. So
yeah.
go play with your voice somewhere, but then get that degree, mom.
Yeah. Which yeah. is a cool thing. It's great that, you know, she did encourage, but she's, you know, she was just trying to make sure that the you know, that somehow her child is okay.
Yeah.
Even after some time, she just wanted to know that you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what was on her mind most of the time. Like, yeah. are you going to be okay?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're going to manage this whole life thing? And once you proved that you could, then she's like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Finally, well done. Yeah. Great. I have achieved in life. My child is going to be okay.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool thing. Well, props to mom. What did you want to send a shout out to mom?
Hey, shout out to old lady, man. Shout out to old lady. Yeah.
Right. It's really just about that shortest hour of the week, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
We're already out of time.
Yeah.
But can you just leave us with some last words and maybe even some shout outs and where we can find you?
All right, man. Ladies and gentlemen, you're now tuning to Cliff Central, and we have power in the building right now. Vortex Group SA. We just launched our website, by the way. To all entrepreneurs out there, with purchase orders from 500k up to 40 million rand, check out vortexgroup.co.za. Let me assist you. Supply and deliveries. That is it. My name is Offense Tabani. Swiss money making machine. Shout out to Cliff Central. Shout out to my boy Election is in the building. Ali Dumaye is coming up. Video coming soon. We out. Thank you, guys.
Well, that's pretty much it. It's the shortest hour of the week. Small, you want to say a last thing or two?
Yeah, man. Look, I'm really inspired by Offense. Is a guy that, I mean, it's very strange how him and I ended up getting along, but thank you very much for coming through and honoring the invite into the show. I'm really greatly inspired, and thanks to the listeners back home. Thank you for tuning in, and again, it's another edition of the Unplugged and In Charge radio show. We're going to catch you next week. It's Smoke Cozy signing out.
Just like that, it's another one of those short hours, as we just mentioned. My name is Weza that guy. Until next time.
CliffCentral.com.